Password is incorrect. I'd like to ask you all to love yourselves. What's the I ask you for your help, Lord. I thank you that I have come to this day by your faithfulness, and I think I have long since forgiven you for making me the way I am. I ask your forgiveness for my many failings and trusting that you could do your will in spite of the way you made me with me. I ask you, Lord, to release the people in this room to love themselves. Since your two greatest commandments are to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we will do a very poor job of loving our neighbor if we don't love ourselves. And it would be good if we could enjoy being the people that you've made us to be by the grace you've poured out, because you made us according to your will, so we should be able to thank you and praise you for it. And then out of that, express the redemption we have in your Son. Who can make us fully ourselves and fully acceptable to you. Let love prevail. In Yeshua's name. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, but it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, However, you are not in the flesh. Amen. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Yes, you are. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he does not belong to him. But yet the gospel is there, even if that were the case. And if Messiah is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as children, by which we cry out, Abba, Father! The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly. I love this. It's my theme song. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And poison ivy, if it still exists, whatever it all shall be, won't cause what it causes for me anymore. And mosquitoes, if they exist and if they bite, will simply cause joy and songs of praise. I don't know what it is we shall be, but we will all be changed. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as children, the redemption of our body. Please don't worry that you won't know who your sons and daughters and who your wife was and who your aunt and uncle was and if past presidents are there. I think we'll even know who they are, if that's possible. You know, we can be so stuck in this world that we can only envision glory as something like this. Pray for an expansion of imagination and wonder and understanding, because glory isn't going to be more of the same. And it never occurred to me until last week that it was possible. I don't know how. I mean, I think of all kinds of stuff. The notion that one could ponder glory with a sense of what will be lost when we get there had never occurred to me until last Saturday. When I realized that other people could think that. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying maybe I lack imagination. I thought, wow. I guess I've just always thought that it's going to be so perfect and so much better that even though I might think about I don't want to give up trout fishing, it's not going to matter. It couldn't possibly be lacking. When you have everything, what could be lacking? It just... Anyway, good news for you. Nothing will be lacking in glory. You won't be missing anything. You won't wish you had your favorite pocket knife. You won't be saying, I feel naked without that. Whatever it is, that's such a big deal to you. The suffering that we go through here isn't useless. God hasn't subjected us to a period of disappointment and loss just because it's a larval stage by which we finally achieve maturity and can be finally happy. We can make ourselves suffer, and if we do, we should repent. But suffering is part of this life. And it's meant to be gone through for a purpose. And it's meant to bring forth perseverance and character and confirmed hope and maturity. And it's meant to bear fruit. And if we look at Messiah, who suffered things we cannot even imagine, though some seem to think they can imagine what he suffered. And some seem to think it's about the physical pain he went through. And yes, that was terrible. But it's way, way beyond that, and we can never fathom it. It will change our perspective. It will change our bitterness and our sniveling and our complaining and our grumbling. And I've done a lot of that. But if we look at him and we see that what he went through is by far a greater injustice than every injustice that's ever occurred in all of human history, and that nothing that's happened to us unjustly and unjust things have happened to all of you is anything compared to what he went through for our sakes. And he went through that for our sakes because we are all sinners and fell short of the glory of God and deserve death, not because God is a big meanie, but because it's just the way it is. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous, and he can't. That can't be part of him. It can't be with him. Life is hard. But you know, it's a wonder every moment. It's just mind-blowing. It's something to be thankful for all the time, no matter what's happening. And I always remember Joseph Brodsky, who I don't know what condition he died in, and he didn't think he had a corner on the market for suffering. But there's a line. He was a exiled Russian poet who spent 5 years in the gulag, and I'm sure his early death was because of what he went through. One of his poems, he's talking about life, and he refers to his gullet, and he says, in spite of all of it, he makes this comment, that out of his mouth, out of his gullet, nothing but gratitude shall be gushing until brown earth is crammed down it. And I think about people who have suffered, you know, really suffered, filled with gratitude. And then I envision myself on this day or that day, when never having gone through what they went through, I managed to prevent myself from appreciating anything, because we can enjoy that so much, you know, complaining, pitying ourselves, thinking we deserved better, indignant at how other people treated us, and maybe they did, you know. But looking at Yeshua has a way of changing all of that. We should look at him more. And not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as children, the redemption of our body. Scriptures don't tell us not to groan. I think they instruct us what kind of groaning we should groan. And of course, when I read the 22nd verse, I could only imagine Jonina, for we know the whole creation groans to suffer and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. And what she went through this week was part of the creation groaning those suffering pangs of childbirth until now. And I'm sure her mama felt it. And I'm sure others of you felt it in some way. And I wasn't anywhere nearby. And I will just say this, that for some reason, on that day I was mostly thinking of the father of that baby and not the mother. And that may not be natural for me to be thinking of that person instead of the other.
And I beg you all to think of that person and every one of those people that is that person. Instead of the one you care more about, that you love more. If it weren't for God's grace, you know, what would we be? Where would we be? Who would we be? What can we blame people for? What right do we have? All we like sheep have gone astray. Turn everyone his own way. Except for one, and he laid down his life for us.
To save us from ourselves. We're in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope, we hope. But if we hope, we do not. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Are you hoping for what you do not see? If you're hoping for what you do not see, you will with perseverance wait eagerly for it. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, and He is for us, He is for you. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Messiah, Yeshua, is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. It is such a calming reality to know that the Son of God is interceding for you. If you should have little confidence in your own intercession, even a weak person should be able to expect that his intercession will be answered by his Father, whom he is one with, who loves him. So if he intercedes for you, how could you be hopeless? How could you doubt? How could you think his prayer won't be answered? Struggle and pain and difficulty aren't the evidence of the failure of the gospel. Ultimately, they are much more the proof of it than any cause to doubt. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You're all going to make it. Did you know that? I see nothing but wonders in this room. Nothing but the image of God in every face. Fearfully and wonderfully made, everyone. And filled with the hope of glory. And hope does not disappoint. So I'm feeling really good because of the truth, not because I'm emotional. I'm not emotional. I don't go in for that emotionalism. Once in a while I have a feeling, though. I do admit that. Let me take a few minutes to just give it all to God. You know what it is? Just let him have it.